Maybe we've done that.
Amen.
Mercy. Acts 14. Please stand when you find that. Acts chapter 14. Thank you for that, girls. Well, I'm glad to tell you tonight our sermon's about blessings.
Amen.
And God is good. He's good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Joe, is your sermon for Wednesday ready? No, I think the Lord wants this one. 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. I was just meditating on a passage earlier today. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, that's like a curse word, right? But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what it says after that? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. You need help with patience, ask for wisdom. And God said, I'll give it to you. Oh, good night. Okay, verse number 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord and on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And this is them counting their steps, going back through, returning to the places where they had been, encouraging and uplifting and of course, preaching the word. We see that in 25. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and then sailed to Antioch. This is their home church, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. You know, I was studying this, and I was getting excited about the blessing. Wouldn't you know, love to have been there to hear Paul and Barnabas share the blessings? And I mean, we're going to talk about some things tonight, but imagine if you were there and you heard Paul talk about Sergius Paulus getting saved in Cyprus. The governor got saved. I mean, that's pretty awesome. And so the governor gets saved, and he's going to tell stories about these salvations and the conversions and the people being saved. But you know what you never hear about? Oh, yeah, and I was, or at least it seems as though they're not reporting about, oh, yeah, but I was stoned, and oh, yeah, and we were beaten, and we were, you know, persecuted. I mean, what they're sharing is the blessings and the moving of the hand of God. That's pretty cool. And look at 28, it says this. And there they abode long time with the disciples. I feel like there's a sweet spirit in that verse to say, man, we're just right with we're with our people. We're with our people. I mean, this is my people right here. My brother has a shirt that says, hanging with my peeps, and has like a little bird on there, you know, like a little Tweety bird. This is my people right here. And that's how I feel like Paul and Barnabas would be. Let's talk about blessings tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We need you. And God, thank you for ministry of song that we heard tonight. And God, we're so blessed in our church to have the sweet spirit and the music and the great, great leadership in our music and our musicians. And we give you glory for how you ministered to our hearts tonight. And you softened us, and we're ready tonight to receive the word. I pray you'd guide us in your path, please. Strengthen us where we're weak. Help us to hear from you, and then God will give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. It's so great the kids had that fundraiser yesterday, And, you know, you'd swing by, many of you swing by the church and had your car washed, you know, and then, of course, that silly dust storm came through a couple hours later. How frustrating is that? Anyway, it's just sort of the sense of the humor of the Lord on that. But so the kids are excited. There's a group of teens, and it's just, you know, how kids can be. They're just excited, and they're spraying each other with, well, Brother Joe was spraying the kids. Every time I went out there, he was spraying the kids with water. I'm like, come on, you know, yes, you're right. And so they're having a good, some of them are in charge of, I don't know, who was in charge of the soap? That might have been a dangerous task, but I wasn't out there too much, you know, for obvious reasons. I didn't want to get, you know, washed myself, but, you know, so they're out there doing that, and then the kids were tasked with the drying of the vehicles. Some of the kids were tasked with standing out by the road holding signs, and the signs, you know, they were simple. They just, it's car wash, and some of them said, like, youth group, and one of them said fundraiser, and I remember when Miss Sarah was walking by and she showed me the one that said fundraiser, it said fun hyphen razor. I loved it. Fundraiser. Oh, and then we put a little D in there, you know, like, oh, it's fundraiser. Fundraiser. You know, I was thinking about that, and in the end, the blessings of the Lord are like that. The blessings of the Lord, so that we, you know, when we acknowledge that God's blessings are there, it's as though automatically they become a fundraiser in our soul, lifting us up, encouraging us, building us in the Spirit. You know what we need to see? The blessings. The work of God, the handiwork, His fingerprint. By the way, I was thinking about this. I think it's in the Gospel of John earlier on. Might have been in Matthew. I can't remember which book it is. But it was the Pool of Bethesda. And one of my friends asked, you know, we were chit-chatting about this. And of course, I did a sermon about it. But what would have been the purpose of the Pool of Bethesda? So that there was an angel came and he stirred the waters. And whoever was first into the waters would have been healed. Of course, the man who was lame was not able to get into the water quick enough. But the healer himself showed up. And the man was able to walk and was healed on the spot because of Jesus. But what would have been the purpose of the Pool of Bethesda? Of the mighty hand of God. And here's what the response was. Because it was God reminding His people Israel that He's still there. You know, the blessings of God are that way. Just God's blessings pouring out in your everyday life. God's fingerprint in your life reminding you that He's there. And He's working and He hasn't left you. And you know what ends up happening sometimes though? Is we don't see the blessings because we're distracted by the challenges we see in life. We don't see the blessings because we're distracted by the discouragements we feel. We don't see the blessings because of all the other things that are happening in our life, the busyness and the stress and the burden and the things that cause us to be down in our spirit. We're so focused there that we can't see the mighty hand of God. If we were to go to some who are, you know, would struggle in this way, we might say, hey, what's a blessing? And you'd have to sit there for a while to think about it. You know, I don't really have a blessing today. Well, they're there. We need to see them. They're there, but we need to acknowledge the handiwork and the blessing or the touch of God in our day-to-day life. Now, this is what Paul and Barnabas went back to the home church to do. To report to the church the handiwork of God. To say to God's people, I can't wait to tell you what God did. It's amazing. We went on this mission trip and we made it to Cyprus and people got saved. And then we sailed to Pamphylia and people got saved. And Perga and people got saved. And we went through Antioch, on our way to Antioch, Pisidia, going through the Taurus Mountains. And boy, that was a journey. We're not going to talk a lot about that. But when we got to Antioch, Pisidia, people got saved. And on to Iconium and all these places in the regions where they were in Galatia. And to report to the church the handiwork and blessing of God. This is the testimony of men who could see or acknowledge and recognize God's blessings. Let's see it. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 24. After they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. This is a region where they're coming back through Galatia. And Pisidia would have been a place where they had already been. A church likely there would have been established. And so they're visiting the believers. They came back to Pamphylia, and what it doesn't say, again, like we said in chapter 13, to get from Pamphylia to Antioch of Pisidia, they would have had to go through the Taurus Mountains. So therefore, they would have went back through the Taurus Mountains. Verse 25, when they had preached the word in Perga. I pause there every time because that shows the passion of Paul and Barnabas, doesn't it? It shows that their burden is always there. You know, I think about God's work in our life. When our spirit is where it needs to be, we're thinking about the Lord, aren't we? When our heart is where it needs to be, we're thinking about the gospel. We're thinking about the people around us who need to hear the gospel. And we want to tell them the gospel when our spirit and our heart is where it needs to be. And so whatever they would have went through and all the trials and the struggles that they would have went through, you know what they did on their journey? They preached the gospel. They continued to tell people about Jesus. That's where you and I need to be. Our spirit needs to be such that our burden is there. Our passion is there. Like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. We need a passion from God. You know what I think we need? Revival from God. A revival of our soul to remind us of those that are around us and their need of Jesus. Burning, a burning flame, a fire in us to tell people about Christ. And they had that. And so they're preaching the gospel there in Perga. From there, in 25, it says they went down to Attalia, which is not far from Perga, but it would have been a coast. They would have gotten on a ship. In verse 26, they sailed to Antioch, straight, not to Cyprus. It doesn't indicate that they went back through Cyprus like they did on their journey to Galatia, but sailing straight from Attalia to Antioch. Antioch would have been their home church. It says in verse 26, from whence they had been recommended. So this is the church that sent them in chapter 13. The church that gave them the authority and prayed and put their hands upon them and supported them in this call of God. So they're reporting back to the church. It says in verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done. I went through all those verses really to get to this one. They came to the church, and the Bible says that the church gathered together. That's like what's happening right now. A gathering, an assembly. Now, when the church would have been notified, there's a gathering, there's a service, we're going to have a service. And in this service, Paul and Barnabas are going to be here. Can you imagine there would have been a level of excitement? Paul and Barnabas are back? I mean, this is exciting. It probably wouldn't have been in the bulletin for the past 2 months. I mean, likely, you know, there's no cell phone, so likely not very many people or no one would have known that Paul and Barnabas are on their way back until they get back. It had been 2 years. And on this journey, 700 miles on land traversed, 500 miles in water traversed for 2 years, planting churches, preaching the gospel, seeing the mighty hand of God working in the region of Galatia, and now they're back in Antioch. The church gathered. There would have been an exciting spirit in the service. And Paul's here. I mean, it would have been like a revival service, but a family reunion happening all at once. Everybody would have been excited to, you know, hear the report and hear the testimony of Paul and Barnabas and about what God had done. The Bible says they began to rehearse all that God had done. In fact, let's read it just as it says it in the scripture. I love it. Verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed, note this, all that God had done with them. All that God had done with them, especially how God had opened the door to the Gentiles, it says. And now, not just Jews, where Gentiles were being saved. And this is a miraculous thing that God was doing through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. But here's what I want you to notice, that they reported all that God had done. They gave testimony of the handiwork of God. Now, the reason why that should be touching to us and how that works in our hearts tonight is because we do see blessings all the day. And we have blessings time at in our family every night. And if there's nothing else we do, we share blessings and we have time of prayer. And we like to also have devotion also, but we're not going to bed without hearing blessings. And sometimes the kids will say things like, man, pizza for lunch today, you know. In fact, almost every day, one of the boys, if not multiple of the boys, we're going to hear about food. I mean, this is a blessing, right? And there's nothing wrong. That's good. We should be thankful for it. And Brother Joe, I loved your little metaphor about the boy singing again, seconds, you know. I mean, we all think about food all the time, right? So it's a blessing. But here's what I want you to notice. That when they rehearsed to the church, they rehearsed specifically the things that only God could get the glory for. It's not just, hey, we had a great meal today, or you know, hey, I saw so-and-so today. And these are good things. These are things that we can associate the blessings of the Lord in our life. But what they're reporting is the handiwork of God. They're telling the church about things that God had done. The miracles of God, the blessings of God, the salvation of souls, the work of God in opening up doors. And how about, and maybe it was so, where Paul would have reported about being stoned. Well, that's not a blessing. But then how God raised him up. And so they're hearing the blessing and the hand of God on the ministry. This would have been exciting for the church. I mean, this would have been something that caused a revival of the Spirit in the hearts of God's people. These kinds of testimonies. By the way, do you know, a lot of times, this is why at times in sermons I tell the stories that I do. I like to tell story, you know, like the fundraiser. That's a blessing. I love that. Because that's what blessings are. They're like fundraisers. I mean, they're just going to lift the spirit of the house, you know. And I had to work that in, by the way, into my sermon. Fundraiser is the best part of my day yesterday. But listen to this. There was a young lady that grew up in our church from about 8 or 9 years old. Her name's Ava. They're in Nebraska. And she was in church, and she started to hear the gospel, and we did Bible studies with her. And she knew she needed to be saved. 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old. And so whenever you're ministering to somebody all day on Sunday and on Wednesday, month after month, and then it becomes year after year, and they know they need to be saved and they acknowledge it, and you know they need to be saved, but they won't turn their heart to Christ. It's a burden that you feel as a spiritual leader in their life. You feel that burden, don't you? Oh, I just wish you'd get saved. I just want you to get saved. You can't make somebody be saved, become saved. You can't make somebody turn their heart to Christ. And we can cause somebody to say the words of salvation, but we cannot transform somebody's heart. And so we waited. We were patient. We were urgent. We wanted her to be saved, and we prayed, and we sought God. And then I don't think I'll ever forget the day when it was just another service, just another day, and the message was being delivered. And at the end of the message, Ava burst into tears in her pew. And she began, while weeping audibly, to make her way to the altar. And as soon as she was doing that, do you know what all of the rest of the congregation began to do who loved Ava? We all began to weep. Because when she got to the altar and turned her heart to Christ, all of our burdens were lifted along with Ava. And what that was a blessing. That was a blessing that transforms our hearts and lifts us. It transformed Ava's heart. And now she's at Heartland at Bible College, and she wants to serve God with her life. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's a miracle that God did in her, and a blessing that needs to be reported. Right. Look what God did. I told this story before, but there's a man named Bill, and Bill was a Vietnam vet. And as I had reported to you before, Bill, when I met with him the first time, he said, God can't save me. And I said, well, why do you think that? And he said, but you don't know the things that I've done. And I said, well, I don't really want to know the things that you've done, but let's study the Bible and see what God does. After 8 weeks of Bible studies, once a week, he said, I don't want to do this anymore. I said, well, let's meet one more week. He came back, and we met, and we did one more Bible study, and then we didn't meet for a couple of weeks. He came to church on a Sunday morning, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to get saved today. I said, hallelujah, amen. I'll be at the altar waiting for you. When the sermon was over, the invitation was given, and Bill didn't come to the altar. And so after the service, I was in the foyer, and Bill was coming through, and I said, Bill, I thought you said you were going to get saved today. And he said, yeah, I know, I just didn't come, you know. I said, well, I gave him scripture to meditate on. And I said, I'm here for you. I'm here for you whenever you're ready. You let me know. And so all week I never heard from Bill. He came back to church the next Sunday, and this time on Sunday he didn't say, I'm going to get saved today. He didn't say that. And so I thought, well, I don't know what's going on with Bill. Preached the message, got to the end of the message, invitation time, every head bowed, every eye closed, and it's time for people to come to the altar, and Bill began to weep. In fact, he began to moan, oh, in his loud voice, and Bill is hard of hearing, you know, and so he has these hearing aids, and I'm not sure he had his hearing aids on, but he was loud, and all the auditorium got quiet, and you could feel, it was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop, because people were wondering, what's happening? Who is that? What is that? It was Bill. And he was walking in the aisle on his way to the altar. And I knew why Bill was coming. Bill was ready to turn his heart to Christ. And he had a hard time, but he knelt down. And he got down there at the altar, and I met him there. And I said, Bill, are you ready to turn to Christ? And I had to say it really loud because he couldn't hear very well. Bill, are you ready to turn to Christ? And he said, I'm ready to turn to Christ, really loud. And then I said, call out to him. And right there at the altar, Bill cried out to Christ. And I mean to tell you, it was awesome. He cried out to Christ. And everybody in the auditorium heard that salvation prayer. And whenever he lifted up from that, I helped him up. And we embraced each other right at the front of the auditorium. And Bill was weeping. And all of the auditorium was weeping. And that's a testimony of God's miraculous fingerprint and hand in the work of the ministry. And you know what? That needs to be reported so that people hear the hand of God is at work. That's a blessing, isn't it? You know, Bill, when he was baptized, he had a hard time getting into the baptistry. And, you know, he's taking, be careful, you know, I don't want you to slip and everything. And we have those slip-resistant pads on the thing. So he's walking down, he gets into the water. And we do all the thing. I say all the thing, okay, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we go down, and we come back up. As soon as we got up, Bill got up out of the water, and he jumped up in the air, and he goes, Hallelujah! Like, whoa, you know. And everybody in the auditorium cheered along with Bill in an exciting moment in his life as God was working in him. You know what that is? The hand of God. The blessings of God. You know, we pray for things. We pray for God to do a miracle in people's lives. We saw a miracle this morning, as a matter of fact, as we're praying for our friend Pedro. That's the hand of God. It's the work of God in the hearts of His people. And these are blessings that need to be reported. These are the things that we need to hear and we need to talk about. Look what God did. God did this. And God gets the glory. You know what that also is? It's a fundraiser. It lifts us. It strengthens us. If we come in here and we're not filled with blessings, that's not because God hasn't been blessing. Let me say that again. If we come into the auditorium and we're not filled up with blessings, that does not mean that God has not been blessing. There's something wrong in us. There's something wrong in our heart. You know how we need to come to church? I have some blessings and I can't wait to tell people about it. God has been doing some things in my life and He's been, watch this, He's been doing some things that only He could do. And He's the only one who can get the glory for it. And I have to tell somebody. I can, as a matter of fact, I can't wait to tell somebody about it. We have blessings times on Wednesday, don't we? Amen. Some of us, we have such awesome blessings. We can't wait till Wednesday so we can raise our hand and tell what God did. That's what blessings time is for. That we can just brag on the hand of God. My wife's been praying for a fridge. You're like, well, we already have a fridge, but we have a lot of kids and people that we love and they eat at our house all the time. We need another fridge. Amen. We're praying about it. She sent me a picture of a fridge at Sam's and it was like $700. And I'm like, if we're going to do it, let's go. You know, we need the fridge. Well, she didn't get it. But, you know, we still needed that fridge. And then one of our sweet ladies came to my wife just the other day. As a matter of fact, I think it was yesterday. Came to my wife and said, is there anybody in the church that needs a fridge? I'm like, well, as a matter of fact, I do know somebody who needs a fridge. And it's sitting over there in the building next door. And it already is loaded up with food. Do you know who did that? You know who did that? God did that. God did that. Like, I don't know that I deserve the hand of God in my life. I promise you, none of us do, but His hand is there. It reminds me of Hosea. Remember a few weeks ago when God said He loved His people? Did they deserve that? No way. But that's the mercy of God and His love in our life and His hand in our life and His blessings in our life. You know what we need to do? We just need to stop. We need to back up and we need to recognize the blessings of God. And then do you know what we need to do? We need to let those things stir us up like a fundraiser and just stir us up on the inside. And whenever we get stirred up because of the blessings of God, you know what we need to do? We need to say something like this. I can't wait for church. Well, why not? Well, it's the pastor. No, it's not the pastor. Oh, it's the sermon. No, it's not the sermon. Oh, it's the music. Tonight, the music. But it's not the music. You know why I can't wait to get to church? Because I have something that God did in my life, and I can't wait to rehearse it to God's people. I can't wait to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody what God did. That's what Paul and Barnabas are doing. You know, they're reporting back to the church the hand of God. They are telling God's people things that only God could do.
Amen.
You know, sometimes God does things and it's so miraculous. Like he meets a need before you even asked him to meet that need. Mm-hmm. Like there was a need for a vehicle in our church. And that need was evident. And then suddenly, guess what was given? Just given. A vehicle. You know who gets the glory for that? God does.
Amen.
That's the hand of God. How many times in your life has God done something and only He can get the glory for it? Do you know what we need to do? We need to see it. We need to have our eyes open and our heart open to see it. If we don't, watch this, if we don't see the blessings and we're focused on the discouragements and we're focused on the things that distract us in our soul, so that we're, instead of seeing the blessings and being filled with the joy that those blessings God designs to bring to our soul, to remind us that He's there and that He loves us and He's going to provide and take care of us. He's not going to leave us nor forsake us, and we can trust Him like the faith of a mustard seed. If we'll just trust Him, He's going to provide and He's going to take care of us. And He puts those in our life strategically to remind us of His goodness and that He's there and He loves us. But we have to see it. We have to acknowledge it. And then when we get around God's people, we need to be filled up so much to say, I got to tell somebody. If we don't have that, it's not because the blessings aren't there. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. The blessings just aren't there. You see, they are there. You just don't see them. You're blinded. You know the scripture, turn to 2 Peter with me. I'm not doing a whole nother sermon, although, mercy, this could become another sermon. 2 Peter, you can lose your place in Acts. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 4. No. Yes. No, verse 5. A little bipolar there. Verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You know what Peter here is talking about? Growth. He's talking about developing your walk with God. What do you need to do? You need to add to your faith. Faith is salvation. What do you need to add to it? Virtue. And then he goes on, virtue, knowledge, verse 6, and knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, which, by the way, charity is the most pure form of love. It's the word agape. It's the love Jesus had for you when he died on the cross. You know how you get to that love? You grow to it. You let God develop you and work in you. You stay where He wants you to be. You're under the Word of God. You're in the Word of God. You're on your knees. And you're begging God to do a work in you. And He'll grow you. He'll grow your faith to virtue, knowledge, temperance, and all these, all the way to charity. And I promise you, He'll do it. But let's take a look. Look at verse number 8. I love this verse. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They make you. You're not going to make yourself strong. Can I say that again? You're not going to make yourself strong.
Amen.
They make you.
Amen.
Like he said, that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this is why I said all of that to say verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is, say that next word,
blind.
Cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Do you know what ends up happening to people? Here's what happens. We don't recognize the blessings in our life because our heart isn't where it needs to be. We're blind. We can't see where we are. We can't understand why we're going through what we're going through or the circumstances of our life. We can't see where we are and we can't see the future, and we're blind to the blessings of God. What we need is God to work in our heart, soften our spirit, so that we might turn our hearts back to Him. God, open my eyes to your goodness. Open my eyes to your love. Open my eyes to your blessings. God, fill me. May your blessings be a fundraiser in my soul. You know what'll happen? You'll start saying things like this. Can you believe what God did? You'll start saying that. Can you? You know, some. I'm just going to keep going because I feel lit up tonight.
Amen.
Do you know why? Do you know why we can't say, look what God did? Sometimes, watch this. Sometimes it's not because we don't acknowledge that God did it. That we don't know that we know God did it, but something's wrong in our heart. When our heart is where it needs to be, you know what you'll say with a spirit filled with joy? Look what God did. Only God can do this. This is amazing. I need to tell somebody what God did. Look how good He is. This is all what the report is. I wonder if Paul was excited when he told about Sergius Paulus. I wonder. I mean, that's the governor. I feel like I would have been excited. Look what God did. God's working in your life. We just need to see it.
Amen.
If you don't see it, it's because you're blind.
Amen.
What do we do, Pastor? We need God to open our eyes.
Yes,
God, would you help me to grow? Would you help me to add to my faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, a charity? Would you give it to me? I need it. Would you soften me? Would you help me to see, God? I want to see your goodness. I want to see your blessings. I want to skip into church. Some of us, that's a scary thought, right? Skipping into church, you know. I haven't skipped for a long time. I'm not sure I remember how to do it, but I mean a skip in our step because God is so good. I can't wait to tell somebody about it. You know, our saying lately has been, stuff's just been falling out of heaven. You know what fell out of heaven yesterday? A fridge. I mean, it almost hit somebody. I mean, it was good. Fridge fell out of heaven. You know what you know what also fell out of heaven? A car. You know what also fell out of heaven? The bus that's sitting in the parking lot over there. I mean, that thing fell directly out of heaven.
Amen.
You know, there's other things that fall out of heaven almost every day. As a matter of fact, every day.
Right.
We just need to see it. God, would you help me to see it?
Amen.
Would you help me to see your goodness and your blessings? I'll finish with this. I feel like that song tonight, Melissa, was from heaven.
Amen.
And that fell out of heaven. I'll tell you what, that was from God. I knew you were going to sing that, and I know the words to it. But then while you were singing it, the Lord reminded me of some people and some things He's doing in my own heart. And it was from God.
Amen.
I just think we need to see those things.
Amen.
And then rehearse it.
Amen.
Look what God did.
Amen.
Only God could have done that. Oh, and then I'll finish with this. Like this is the end. You know what it'll be? A fundraiser.